Good evening. Today is Monday, the 2nd of April 2018. The time is 8 p.m. at night in Canberra. We will begin the weekly Bangla radio program from Canberra 2XX Community Radio Station. This program is being broadcasted by Community Broadcasting Limited and Bangladesh Australia Association Canberra. Every Monday at 8, this program is broadcasted on FM band 98.3 MHz. Tonight, the program will be hosted by Sami Chaudhry, Adiba Ahmed and Harry Thompson. We'll be discussing Sami's and Harry's trip to Bangladesh and the culture shock and different experiences that Harry experienced on his first visit to Bangladesh.
My name is Sami. I'm here with my friends Adiba and Harry. And we're here to talk about a recent trip that myself and Harry embarked upon. We both went to Bangladesh with my family for about 2 weeks and thought we'd just do a radio show asking Harry about his thoughts on Bangladesh. So
Harry's background is that he grew up in Australia. He is Australian.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so this was his first trip to Bangladesh.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
So Harry, you want to tell us why Bangladesh?
Well, in my community, there are a lot of my friends actually come from Bangladesh and they talk about it a lot. And basically I thought that Bangladesh is not a place a lot of tourists go to, so it might be a very interesting place to go and check out, especially since I already know people that come from there will know all the good places to go. So when Sammy's parents invited me to go, I didn't think I could turn down such a good opportunity.
Yeah, so just to give a bit of more background on our trip, so we spent about a week in Dhaka, the capital of Bangladesh, and then we went to my home village in Sylhet, in a specific place called Ganihati, where my dad grew up, and pretty much my entire heritage comes from Ganihati. So we took Harry there, and Harry, what would you say the highlight of your trip was?
To Ganihati or Dhaka?
I'm in Dhaka. What would you say the highlight was?
Well, going to see that world's biggest shopping mall biggest shopping mall in Southeast Asia.
Yeah.
Was pretty cool. There were a lot of stores there that sold a lot of very unique products.
Yeah. Which one was this?
Bhushandhara.
Oh, yeah.
Bhushandhara, yeah. So that was fun.
Okay, so Harry, why don't you tell us about the highlight of your trip? Let's start with Dhaka, maybe.
Well, in Dhaka, we got to enjoy many things. One of the highlights was the largest shopping mall in Southeast Asia. I believe it was called Bhushandhara.
Yeah.
And that was a very nice place.
Yeah, I remember that. We went and we bought the puggeries.
A couple of puggeries and we were looking pretty good in them.
Yeah, we also, we got a whole pretty much outfit for us.
So if I ever needed to get wed in Bangladesh, I'm already sorted out.
Yeah, you definitely.
Or what to wear to Sami's wedding.
Yeah. Exactly, I've already got that.
Yeah, you've got the ultimate wedding attire.
Yep, so that's good. Yeah, and that was a fun experience because we don't have any shopping centres like that here, that's for sure. It was big.
What else did we do in Dhaka? The food, you seem to really enjoy the food.
Oh, the food was fantastic, especially by the people. We had a chef that was cooking these meals for us, and he was a very talented young man who was making all sorts of delicious curries and breads and all and good stuff. Yeah, so I really enjoyed the food there.
Was this at your apartment?
Apartment.
I was like the chef. But I know what you mean.
Went to a lot of hotels as well for some good food.
Yeah.
But, overall the food was great.
Yeah. Just thinking about what else we did in Dhaka. Mm-hmm. You met some of my family, you met my aunt.
Yeah, they prepared a very nice meal for us. That was a good experience.
Yeah.
And then they had a nice house up pretty close to yours.
Yeah. And we also, another friend of ours came with us. He's not here with us right now, but Sharid, in Taka, he lived just down the road from us.
Mm.
So we saw him quite often.
He was there staying with his uncle and his cousin and things, I think.
Yeah. The day before, the day you got there, before I got there, you actually spent the day with him and you walked the streets a bit. And you saw an elephant on the road.
Yeah, I got scammed by an elephant. He took a dollar or something from me. without letting me pass, but that was worth it. And, you know, best dollar I had to spend, got to chill with an elephant, so that was cool.
So
we were just sort of walking around the area and just seeing what was around and how people lived their lives and that sort of thing. Saw some markets.
How much of a culture shock was Bangladesh for you? Because it's definitely, it's a stark contrast to life here.
Yeah, well, I haven't actually been anywhere like Bangladesh before, so it was the most culture shocked I've been in like a while.
Yeah.
You haven't been to India?
No, I haven't been to anywhere in the Indian subcontinent.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was definitely a unique experience. That I don't think I could have gone anywhere else. Yeah, it was good.
Yeah.
What was like, you know, because as you're wandering down the street, some things that you see apart from the elephant, was there anything else that
There were a lot of beggars that would knock on the windows of the cars as we were stuck in traffic, and that was something that I wasn't used to because I wasn't really sure how to deal with that so well. So that was probably one of the biggest culture shock things when I first got there. Just seeing elephants on the street was weird.
For a wedding?
I don't think so.
They just ride an elephant for that purpose to get money off unsuspecting people. It's not like a massive elephant.
Apparently, I was a very obvious tourist. So
yeah, you stuck out like a sore thumb. Yeah. But there's no chance that you wouldn't. Okay, so let's move to the more countryside. So then we took quite a lengthy car ride to the village.
Mm.
And so, you know, the village for me, I guess, I've been there like so many times, so it was just going to back to what I know. But like, what was it like for you?
Oh, it was good. It was really relaxing and the people there were really nice.
Yeah.
And it was just good just being able to hang out and play badminton and just games and stuff with the village kids and just have a relaxing time, drink tea on the roof. Have good food, you know. Just, we went on a what was that vehicle called again? The ride we went on.
The you mean in the village?
The rickshaw ride. Yeah.
Oh, the rickshaw.
Yeah, we went on the rickshaw ride. And we went around the place. Went to some ovals, looked at some rice fields, and just sort of saw a bit about what the Bangladeshi countryside is about. So that was cool.
Yeah. And then later that night we saw like a prehistoric method in how rice was cooked.
In
the bamboo shoots.
Yeah,
it's called chunga.
I didn't even know what that is.
Oh, so they put the grain into a bamboo shoot, and then they bury it in hay. And they light the hay on fire, and it cooks inside, and it's like the oldest form of cooking rice.
Wow! And no water or anything like that.
Oh well, actually, I don't know. I assume it must be water, otherwise it wouldn't go soft.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was.
So Harry, I know that you grew up with Sammy and Shroyd, and you know, you've always kind of had like little glimpses of our culture. For example, I know that you come to eat sometimes and stuff like that. And what do you think? Do you think that you were surprised in any way and having the bigger picture? Or do you feel like what do you think of how we celebrate our culture and heritage compared to actually being in the country itself?
Well, I've been to a lot of Sammy's singing performances as well, which talk a lot about sort of Bangladesh. I believe the band is called Drupad, and they're very good. A lot of the songs that they sing are about like the different seasons, which is a big thing that I noticed in Bangladesh. They're very passionate about like the changing of the seasons. So like you've got your special outfits that you wear on the first day of spring and that sort of thing. So I thought that like the way that the Bangladesh community celebrates Bangladesh here was. It was like they were taking things that they were proud of about their homeland, which I could see when I went there, and they're sort of trying to integrate it into the Canberra community, which I thought was really nice. So basically, when I got to Bangladesh, I could kind of see a lot of the things that they were talking about and all the things that I've heard about just being around Bangladeshi people in the Canberra community. So, yeah.
Yeah. Harry and I wore festive colours for the first day of spring. Although Harry had actually fallen a bit ill.
Oh yeah, that was rough.
That was a trip. So, yeah, that was.
It wasn't a great first day of spring for me. I was yeah. sick. Yeah.
Was that from Taka or?
Yeah, I think it was from Sharad. he brought a cold and infected everybody with it. So that was that was fun. But
So Harry, tell us about a day in your life when you were in Bangladesh.
Well, in Dhaka, for example, when we were there, I'd wake up in the morning, kind of early, not too early, it was pretty chill, and then we'd have breakfast, which was generally comprised of rice and curry and those little bread puff things.
Yeah, the dal puris.
The dal puris, and I really liked the dal puris, I thought those were really tasty, so I pretty much had those every morning.
You can come to mine, my mum's known for the best dal puris.
Oh, excellent, because I was a big fan of those. And yeah, then we'd leave to go whatever we had planned during the day. We'd usually spend quite a long time sitting in traffic, getting there.
Traffic traffic is like the story of Taka.
And then we'd do whatever activity that we had planned for that day. For example, we went to that memorial of like the battle for the language.
Shohid Minar.
Yeah, we went to that, and we learned a bit about the history of Bangladesh and the whole.
Yeah, the genocide
in the university
students.
and all that tragic backstory.
Yeah, so Harry, I just wanted to interject and ask you, so what were your thoughts, because obviously it's just something that you don't encounter really a lot of places in the world, but just the culture of having servants in Bangladesh.
Well, that was something I had to get a bit used to because, I wasn't really sure how to react to the fact that everything was being done for me.
Yeah.
I wasn't 100% sure what the best way to interact with the servants
was. Was it something you were comfortable with?
Not at first, because it was. I don't know, it was just so... That was a large part of the culture shock for me, something that I'd never seen before in any country that I've been to, and I've been to quite a few countries. So seeing this sort of thing happen was something I wasn't 100% sure how to react to. So I felt a bit uncomfortable because I wasn't in my element, I guess, talking to people like this.
Do you think it's... Like, is it something that you could get behind if you... like, say, lived in Bangladesh, or would you want to, like, really, abandon it or something?
Well, I think that's hard for me to say. I feel as though that's more of it's such a cultural thing. The people that were working, for example, for your family, have a much better life than if they were just working in the village. So, in a sense, it's giving them a lot of opportunity, which is really good, but I just don't feel 100% comfortable with people doing all of my things for me because I like to do my things myself. Yeah. So I'm not 100% sure if I would totally embrace that were I to move to Bangladesh. Yeah.
I mean, yes, like, didn't want to put you on the spot, but I think, I mean, personally, I think that, like, as good as it can be, it sort of it sort of prevents you from kind of growing as a human being if you get someone to do just everything for you all the time, and then, you know, you might move to somewhere where that isn't the case, and then you're just sort of left dumbfounded, like, how do I do something if I have someone waiting on me hand and foot?
Yeah, it just makes you a bit lazier, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Because you're so used to all these things being done for you, so.
Yeah.
I speak about, like, my cousin's experience. So they grew up in Bangladesh, two of my closest cousins, and they essentially had everything done for them because their focus was to study and go to school and to come and study and eat. And so when one of my cousins, he moved to in Australia to do his uni studies, he didn't know how to do anything. And so my parents actually, you know, were then having to help him a lot, like, you know, this is a washing machine, this is a toaster, stuff like that. So it's actually true, Sammy, what you're saying, that you become kind of lazy in a way, and you're not necessarily learning a lot of life skills until you don't have the servants helping you out. And myself, even when I was a kid and stuff, and we'd go to Bangladesh, and you'd have the servants and they're doing things, but you know that you can do them. So then you try to do them, and then your parents are like, no, 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 that's their jobs. Like, you don't need to do that. But then you feel bad. So
yeah. I mean, it's extreme in some sense that, like, you won't see them sitting on the same furniture as you.
Yeah.
And even if that's okay in some households, it's not something you can tell. Like, even if you told them, like, come sit down, like, they'd feel so uneasy about it. Like, it's ingrained in their head that, you know, it's this caste system, but not really a caste system being perpetuated in, like, modern-day Indian subcontinent. So, you know, I mean, in our household, we have a boy who's a bit younger than I am, called Samad, and, you know, I was telling my parents that, you know, he should learn a trade, like plumbing or carpentry or whatever, just so that he can, like, you know, if things don't work out and, you know, he doesn't work for us anymore, he can go out there and still make a living.
Mm. Yeah, my aunt and the closest people in Bangladesh to me are my aunt and my nanny, who unfortunately has now passed away. But for everyone that they'd had under their employ who was, say, not married or just young, they would also pay for their schooling.
Yeah.
So that, you know, if were they to no longer work for my aunt or my nanny, then at least they'll have, like, an education and stuff like that. So that's something I always really liked. I don't know how common that is, actually.
Yeah.
But even also, it was kind of nice. But so when all the household stuff was done, my nanny would say to her Gajaloks, her servants, hey guys, come here and we can watch the latest serial. And so they'd just watch like a drama, and it was so cute.
Yeah, yeah, that's nice. So during towards the back end of our trip to the village, Kanihati, we were actually in the middle of sort of situation of political turmoil in the country, where the opposition leader, Khaled Azia, was being investigated for corruption. And as a result, the day of her verdict, pretty much all roads were shut down, pretty much in a nationwide fear of that there might be some violence on the street or whatever. So our friend Sharid was actually supposed to leave the village back to Dhaka on that day, and he couldn't. And we were pretty much in lockdown. So I just wanted to get your thoughts about that, Harry, like, because that's something like that is pretty unheard of back home.
Yeah, that was really interesting, in the sense that we were going to go to the resort, I believe, that day as well.
This resort was called Nazimgarh in Sylhet.
Yeah, and...
sorry, guys, when you say resort, what do you...
So it's a resort. It's like in the sort of...
It's got a pool.
In the jungle of Sylhet. And like,
stuff to do.
It's not a great road going there, but once you get there, it's pretty
like
nice.
A tourist hotspot.
Yeah,
a tourist hotspot in the sense that, like, a lot of people from Bangladesh travel to.
I can't imagine.
But, so we were supposed to leave there on the same day that Shahid was supposed to catch his flight back to Dhaka. And we just were warned by one of our drivers that there was a lot of political unrest on the roads, and they were flipping cars and stuff like that. So it definitely wouldn't be a wise idea for us to travel that day, otherwise we might be in danger. Especially me, as a foreigner, might not be in the safest position on the roads during all this political strife. And yeah, it was really unusual for me, because usually when some sort of political drama happens here, the people just sort of complain about it on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And don't really take to the streets unless it's like a peaceful protest or something like that. So I've never really heard of any sort of violent demonstrations going on before, especially ones that disrupt my travel plans. So,
I mean, this is, it's sort of part and parcel in living in Bangladesh that it's not a place where you can, in good faith, really make plans for the foreseeable future, because you don't know, like, just the traffic situation and just the population density is so, it's just so much that you can't get anywhere in a, like, efficiently whatsoever. And we sort of, And I know that we make sort of fun of the fact that nothing, even here back in Canberra in the Bangladeshi community, nothing really happens on time. But I think there's like, it's been ingrained in some in a culture that, you know, because things back there don't really happen on time, it like transfers over to here. Like, I can't think of anything that happens
because we run on Indian standard time.
Yeah, it's just and like I don't blame them back there for like having this view, because you have to have a certain level of patience. Like, you get into a car and you have to accept that I could well be in this car to go to travel 10-15 kilometers for 2.5 hours. Like, it's it's unbelievable. Like,
that must also be why Charlotte is never on time.
Yeah. So the resort itself was amazing. It was a shame that both of us sort of fell ill right as we were getting in there. But
yeah,
like,
shame, we couldn't swim or anything like that. And they didn't have the quad bikes available for the day, which is what we were looking forward to the door.
It was really a down period for the holiday season, I guess, because I think us and just another family were attending this resort.
Well, we got to watch a lot of Indian cable TV, which is something I've never watched before. So that was
Cartoon Network in Hindi.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and other fun channels.
Yeah, because of the political turmoil that prevented us going the day before. We only got to spend the one day there.
Yeah,
which wasn't good. We went on a boat ride, which was
nice. We went for a little walk through the tea garden.
The tea gardens, like, every time I see them, they're
huge.
Yeah, they're huge.
We went to a pineapple field as well in Dhaka.
Yeah, we did. That
was interesting.
Yeah, it was a private garden.
Yeah, that was in Sylhet, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They took us there on the rickshaw. We were going for that day.
Yeah.
But, the resort was really nice. It was a shame that we were both a bit sick. And the fact that we only had one day there, so we couldn't really take advantage of all the fun things that they
did. I mean, no matter where we went, we were always, like, definitely like having our like a good feed.
The food was good everywhere. Yeah. That's something that I can definitely say about this trip.
Yeah.
How do you feel about chili, Harry?
I would say I'm moderate in terms of chili. Like, I can handle chili, but like if like someone makes a really spicy Thai dish or something, I'm not a chili master. So but I can handle like the amount of chili that they use in Bangladeshi cuisine, because it's typically not quite as hot as in some of the other Southeast Asian countries, I've noticed.
Mm-hmm.
But like, they use it more as an aromatic spice and that sort of thing.
Did you notice any weight gain after the trip?
I was eating pretty much all the time, so I had to do running when I got back.
I went to the States afterwards and to visit my aunt, and she just saw me and was like, it had only been 2 weeks, and she's like, you need to do something about your weight. And I was like,
They fed us very well, that's for sure. Yeah.
And the food's like really oily there, so you, like, you can just put on weight like really quickly. Yeah.
And then the amount of rice you eat a day.
Yeah.
Where you guys eating two to three times rice.
Yeah, yeah. We had that dessert that was the rice with the yogurt.
The
custard sort of thing. That was really nice. I really liked that.
Cute.
That was awesome. I wish I could have some of that at my house. That was
really good.
I ate that every meal.
You love the food.
Yeah. I had that every meal. It was so good.
Were there other sweets that you liked? I feel like we have a fairly dominant sweet culture.
We didn't try. Well, we had some of the stuff that they offered at the hotel, like the traditional Bangladeshi cakes and stuff.
Yeah.
And those were really nice. But in terms of sweets, we didn't have like a lot. It was mostly just like a lot of curries and a lot of breads and just rice and that sort of thing. And it was really good.
Yeah.
Definitely, and we went to the hotels a lot of the times and just got like burgers and stuff when we needed a little break from all the curries and all that. But and the burgers that they made at the hotels were really, really good as well. So like, it was a miracle I didn't come back like 500 kilos.
So, Harry, I'm gonna ask: do you foresee that you'd return to Bangladesh?
Well, I definitely have to return to Bangladesh one day for when you get married.
Oh yeah.
And I have to wear my pagri and look very stylish.
Sure. Well, you know, maybe we'll go to the Ekta Ball this year.
Yeah, we'll go to the Ekta Ball, which is, for people that don't know, it's an ANU ball, which sort of celebrates the Indian subcontinent and all of its culture. So I already have the outfit ready for that.
Yeah.
And might even get married while I'm there.
Yeah.
So.
Might meet a nice Bangladeshi girl.
Yeah, exactly. The dream, right?
Yeah.
So, Harry, we understand that you had a very nice time in Bangladesh, save for being ill. But is there anything else that was a bit difficult for you?
Well, the main issue, aside from the traffic, which was a bit of a nightmare because it took us a very long time to get anywhere, that I had was the airport was not great in terms of there were many, many mosquitoes everywhere. Yeah. And like when I was leaving to go to Bangladesh, I went to the travel doctor and they warned me about all these many plethora of diseases that mosquitoes carry in Bangladesh. So the fact that there was just swarms and swarms of mosquitoes inside that airport, more than I actually saw anywhere else in Bangladesh.
So overall, you had a good
great
trip?
Experience. It was fantastic.
Well, we hope that you do go back.
Well, then you better get married pretty soon.
Yeah. Well, you know, see what happens.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening about our trip.
Yep. And thank you, Harry, for coming in to be with
us. Oh, no problem. My pleasure.
Yeah. All right. See you guys later.
Chhutaya shire.
We would like to highlight an upcoming community event. The Bangladesh Australia Association Canberra is going to celebrate the Boishakhi Mela on the 21st of April 2018. Boishakhi Mela meaning Bangla New Year Mela. The venue will be at Duffy Primary School. It will start at 12 p.m. and there will be cultural performances and stalls. We welcome you to join us there. We have now reached the end of our program. We hope that you have enjoyed. We invite you to send your opinions on Bangla Radio to the following email, banglaradio@gmail.com. The next Bangla Radio program will be held next Monday at 8 p.m. We welcome you to join us then. Wherever you are, we hope that you will stay well.